The Word of God tells us today in Acts chapter 20, verse 7 through verse 12. And I'm going to say this again. I come to you with a heavy heart, a heavy spirit in this room today. Acts 27 through 12 again, and it says this, New King James Version. Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. There were many lamps in the upper room where they were gathered together. And in a window sat a certain young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep. He was overcome by sleep. And as Paul continued speaking, he fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. I want to back up. And in a window sat a certain young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep. Paul's preaching, he's getting sleepy. He was overcome by his sleepiness, or by sleep. And as Paul continued speaking, he fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. But Paul went down, fell on him, and embracing him said, "Do not trouble yourselves, for his life is in him." Now when he had come up, had broken bread and eaten, and talked a long while, even till daybreak, he departed. And they brought the young man in alive, and they were not little comforted. Not a little comforted. I want to take you back to verse number 9. And I want to draw something out here that's very imperative. And in a window sat a young man named Eutychus. And in a window sat a young man named Eutychus. I want to share with you today on this thought, sitting in the window seat. That may not mean much to you as I make that statement now, but if you'll hear me out today, you'll fully understand what it means to every one of us in this room. Sitting in the window seat. Father, I ask you now to anoint the Word of God today in a very unique, powerful, and holy way. And I'm asking you, God, to speak into our spirit, speak into our heart. God, reach us where we are. Every person in this room is in a different place, a unique moment, a unique time for their own personal life. But I ask you, God, that you will reach us today where we are. Reach into our heart. Reach into our spirit. Get a hold of who we are and where we are. And let your word forever change us. In Jesus' name. Turn around and shake somebody's hand and say, "I love you, and I'm good to see you today." I usually don't say this to you a whole lot, but I'm asking you today, please, no one walking in or out or leaving this building unless it's absolutely necessary unto the end of this service. Sitting in the window seat. That sounds like a unique statement, I know. And when you read this passage of Scripture, it may not seem like very much. But I want to begin by saying this to us today. There is a danger in the church world today, where we are right now, of becoming more out than we are in. It's a very dangerous place that's happening in the church world even now, that many are more out than they are in. It goes back to something I said a moment ago. We're living in an hour of diversion, where the enemy is trying to divert us away from the plan and the will and the purpose of God in our life. He's trying to keep us from finding and fulfilling the will of God. Can I tell you this? Becoming more out than you are in means becoming so focused on everything else in your life that we become less focused on God. Have you been there lately? Seeing everything else more clearly than we see God. Have you been there lately? When you become more out than you are in, life begins to rule and control who you are. You don't control life. Life controls you. When you become more out than you are in, God no longer leads the way in your life. Are you hearing me today? When you become more out than you are in, God no longer leads the way. Oh, we say He's in control. We say He's leading us. But in reality, when we begin to look at our life and where we're going and what we're doing, God has very little to do with what's going on in our life. When we become more out than we are in. When you find yourself here, it is a most precarious and dangerous place called the window seat. And I want those three words to sink deep into your spirit today, because God wants to reveal some things to us. In our passage of scripture this morning, a young man by the name of Eutychus, he finds himself in this very dangerous place called the window seat. Now, we could assume any number of reasons why he is there. The place was crowded, and maybe there was nowhere else to sit, so he's sitting in the window seat. It could have possibly been that it was hot and stuffy in the room, and it seemed like there was no fresh air, so he's sitting in the window seat. But I come closer to believing, and I want everybody in this room to hear me today. I come closer to believing he had began to become disinterested in what was taking place in the house of God. He became disinterested in what was happening in the house, so he goes to the window seat and he looks beyond where he is to what's out there. I choose to believe that maybe he had lost his desire for the things of God, so he becomes more interested in what's out there than what's in here. It could have been that the Word of God was no longer exciting to his heart and no longer exciting to his spirit. He slipped further and further away from the presence of God and from the Word of God. Even though Paul was preaching, Paul was proclaiming, no doubt he was not hearing what was being said. He was missing the presence of God. He was missing the Word of God. Have you ever been in that place in your life? And I'm just going to throw it out here. Are you there right now? Please don't miss what I'm saying today. Please don't let it go in one ear and out the other, but let it sink into your spirit, into your heart, and into your soul. The window place is where you can be inside and still see what's going on the outside. You can be in the inner part, but you still see what's happening out there. In this context, the window represents a condition of what's called drawing back. Please hear this, preacher, this morning. This is very imperative. A condition of drawing back. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 39, but we are not of those who draw back unto perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. We are not those who draw back. And then he uses that word perdition. Let me give you this. Draw back means to shrink, to shun, to keep back, to render useless, to put out of the way entirely. The word perdition means destroying, utter destruction, a perishing, ruin, or the destruction which consists of eternal misery in hell. Amen. So he said, we are not of those who draw back into perdition, those who are being destroyed and perishing and ruined. He said, we're not of those. There is today in the church world a very obvious drawback spirit. There is today a very obvious presence of a drawback spirit among the church. Instead of pressing into the presence of God, backing away, drifting off, and drifting away. It is the spirit that wants, listen, what are you talking about, a drawback spirit? It is a spirit that wants all the blessings of God. It is a spirit that wants the healing. It's a spirit that wants the miracles. It's a spirit that wants the prosperity, but it doesn't want the commitment. A drawback spirit is that when it wants healing, it wants everything God's got to offer, but it wants no committed spirit to God. Can I tell you this? If it's the blessing line, they're the first one in the front. If it's the blessing line, they want all God's got. But if it's commitment, dedication, and consecration, they check out. Now, I know this is not popular preaching this morning, but I ask you to hear me very closely today. When conviction comes, they have to go. Amen? Amen? That's when, for some strange reason, the bladder starts acting up and they have to run to the bathroom. When the commitment time comes, that's the time they pick up the cell phone and run out the back door and have to make a phone call. Let me just stop and tell you, there's not a phone call you need to make that's more important than where you find yourself with God in this very moment in your life. That's all right. Give the Lord a hand in this room. But that drawback spirit takes people from that place of commitment to seeing just how far away they can get from being committed to Him. This spiritual condition is what we call the window seat. From the window seat, it seems that you have such a good view. God help me today. From the window seat, you have such a good view. People in the window seat can see all the problems in the church. Amen. 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 From the window seat, they hear every sour note. From the window seat, they see every mistake. From the window seat, they see all the weaknesses and all the faults of other people. Isn't it amazing what you can see from the window seat? When you're more out than you are in, instead of trying to hear what God's trying to say and trying to pick up on what God's trying to do, you come to the place that you pick up on all the wrong things, the things that are the least important. From the window seat, things that you had left outside are easy to see. Touch your neighbor on the shoulder and say, listen up, he's talking to you. From the window seat, things you left outside come easy into the view then. Things that God delivered you from come back into view. Things that you had shut the door on and left outside comes back into view. Things that you knew were destroying your life, things that were hurting your body, things that were causing division in your family, all of a sudden they become visible again, and from the window seat they become attractive. God took you away from it. God drew you out of it. God delivered you from it. God broke it off of your life. But when you get in the window seat, all of a sudden, it starts looking attractive again. One time it was destroying you. One time it was hurting you. One time it was breaking you. One time it was busting your family apart. God delivered you. God freed you. God released you. But now you find yourself flirting with it again. And we've got this far, let's go a little further. The window seat is a very dangerous place. But like Eutychus, there are so many that are deceived in believing that they can look at those things and it will not have any effect on them. You start flirting with things God brought you out of, let me tell you, when it gets a hold on you, it'll be stronger the second time around. It will grip you tighter than you ever thought it could grip you. And it'll hold you longer than you ever thought it could hold you. And you'll feel like you can never get free from it. But too many are deceived in the fact of believing that it's not going to hurt them. It's not going to affect them. They believe that they can think about it as long as they don't do it. And we done got this far. Let's go a little further. We can think about it just as long as we don't do it. So often people say, well, I'm strong, I won't fall. First mistake. I'm strong, I won't fall. Let me say it again. First mistake. The only way you will stand is through God and God alone. But when they say, I'm strong and I won't fall, so they start flirting with thoughts of how much fun it would be just one more time to go back and revisit old websites. To go back and see what pornography would be like just one more time. To call up that old friend that God got you away from, but now you're going to make a new connection. But yet you say, I won't fall. To get drunk just one more time. You tell yourself, oh, how good it would feel just to get drunk one more time, to get high just one more time. And you tell yourself you can handle it. You tell yourself you won't fall. And the list goes on and on and on. And maybe you got something different in your life that the enemy's trying to take you back to and trying to bring back up in your life. Of course, they think, well, I would never do that. I'm just looking around. I'm just thinking, but I wouldn't do that. I got this in bold letters, and I want everybody in this room to hear me. That kind of thinking will destroy you. That kind of thinking will tear you down. That kind of thinking will destroy your life. I'm just thinking about it. I'm just visiting. I'm not going to do it. You keep thinking about it long enough, guess what? You're going to be right back in the middle of it. Let me say this while I'm here. I love you with all of my heart. You know I do, and I come here with a heavy heart today, and I'm going to give you exactly what God told me to give you while I'm here today. Let me also tell you while I'm here, do not invite evil spirits into your home. It's not just about what you're doing personally. It's what you're going to do in your house if you let the enemy in. Do not let evil come through your TV. I'm just going to tell you something. If you're watching things on your TV that have evilness about it and an evil, any kind of evil ways whatsoever, you better turn that TV off. You better get it out of there, and you better get rid of that station from your... What are you saying, Pastor? Listen, it will invite demonic spirits into your house. I said it'll invite demonic presence into your house. You say, oh, it really doesn't. That doesn't hurt anything, doesn't mean anything. Oh, yes, it does. What you think is so minute and what you think so is so minor, the devil is keying in on, and he's bringing his spirit alive and well into a place where he was never meant to be. Don't let evil come through your radio. Boy, it's getting quieter and quieter in here. Do not let evil come through your phone. If you're having problems with seeing and visiting and letting things come across your phone that you can't handle, get you an accountability partner. And you connect with somebody that'll see everything you're looking at, that'll see everything you're visiting, that'll see everything that you're a part of, get you an accountability partner. And God, I feel him in here. Do not let the enemy come through. You say, well, I can handle it. No, you can't. You say, I can deal with it, I can handle it. No, you cannot. If you watch and listen long enough, it's going to get a hold on you. And I'm just going to be real with you for a minute. You say, I can control it. No, it is controlling you. You with me? I can control it, Pastor. No, you can't. It's controlling you. The window represents opportunity. The window represents a window of time. Opportunities and moments that you have in your life. The Bible said in Ephesians 4:27, I'm going to use three different translations. King James said it this way, neither give place to the devil. The Amplified Version said, and do not give the devil an opportunity. I want somebody to hear that one. Do not give the devil an opportunity. And then the last one, the Good News Translation, don't give the devil a chance. So he's telling us in the Word, you cannot give place to the enemy. Don't give the devil a window of opportunity in your life. Because if you give him a window of opportunity, he will come in and he will destroy you. If possible. Listen, Eutychus never intended to fall. I want everybody in this room to hear me. Eutychus never intended to fall. Most of the time, people don't mean to fall. They don't mean to fall away from God. They don't mean to drift from God. Listen, can I say this to you? You got to nurture, you got to protect, you got to cultivate your salvation. Did you hear me? Jesus saves you. Jesus forgives you, but you don't drop it right there. You got to nurture it. You got to protect it. You got to cultivate it on a continual basis. You can't stop. You can't quit. You can't back off. Hebrews 2 and 3, the Voice Version said it like this. Then how will we escape destruction if we ignore this great salvation? If we ignore the saving grace of God, how are we going to escape destruction? We heard it first from our Lord Jesus, then from those who passed on his teaching. But he said, how are we going to get past destruction if we ignore salvation? How are we going to get past the works of the enemy if we ignore salvation? How are we going to get past what the devil's trying to do if we ignore salvation? You got to nurture it. You got to keep it. You got to cultivate it. You got to protect it in your life. Listen, it is life. It is a life you have to sustain in Christ. Just like a baby is dependent on its mother for life, so is the life of Christ in you dependent upon your faithfulness, your commitment, and your obedience unto God. Eutychus didn't mean to fall. We don't mean to fall. We don't choose to fall. But if we stop praying, if we stop reading our word, if we stop seeking God, if we stop going after the Lord, guess what? We're going backwards. I was listening to a preacher preach the other day, and he was talking about one of the key men in his life who had sown into him and poured into him and ministered to him, a mentor, if you will. And he said to him this, he said, son, he said, every minister I've ever dealt with that fell into, whether it was sexual sin or things that pulled them away from God, he said it all, the number one thing they always said, I stopped praying. I stopped praying. I stopped reading my word. Eutychus means fortunate, well, good. Listen to me. Just like Eutychus, we have been called fortunate. We are the favored of the Lord. And it's key that you get that in your mind and in your spirit. You are fortunate. You are the favorite of the Lord, but if we do not maintain our salvation, we can fall. And my Bible tells me that in the last days, if it were possible, even the very elect of God would be deceived. That brings me to this next part. Eutychus fell from three stories up. This tells me that even the most spiritual have to be watchful and diligent lest they fall. What does that mean? It doesn't matter how high up you are. It doesn't matter how high up you think you are. You can fall. It doesn't matter how far along you are in God or how far along you think you are in God. If you stop praying and you get out of your word and you start drifting away from God, you can fall. It's a reality. It's a very strong reality that every one of us must get a hold of. No one is exempt. I don't care who your mama was or your grandma was or how many preachers you had in your family and how many years your name has been on a membership row. That won't get you one inch off of the ground when the rapture takes place. It's your relationship. It's your walk. It's your place with God. Why did Eutychus fall to his death? Listen to me. Why did he fall? Why did he die? He lost his passion for the things of God. He's sitting in the window seat, and he lost his passion, and he fell to his death. Why did he fall to his death? He was more out than he was in. God help us today. He was more out than he was in. Listen, at midnight is when he fell from the window seat. Are you listening to me? It was at midnight that he fell from the window seat. All throughout the Word of God, all throughout Scripture, midnight is a very critical point. When you study it out in the Word of God, it was at midnight when the death angel passed through Egypt and smote the firstborn. It was at midnight when the cry was made that woke the sleeping virgins. It was at midnight when Paul and Silas turned the corner and turned their pain into praise, and the jail cell was rocked and the doors burst open. It was at midnight And I want to say this to every person listening to me today. Midnight is the halfway point. Midnight is where it can go either way. Midnight speaks of decision time. And there's a lot of people standing at midnight in their relationship with God, in their walk with God, where they are right now. They're standing in that midnight moment. What decision will you make? And let's just get real. You're either in or you're out, and there is no in between. Amen? Certainly this window seat could not be comfortable. Hear me. At first, these thoughts of things of the world are painful. The enemy starts working on your mind. Why don't you try this again? Why don't you do that again? Why don't you go over here and try this? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? At first, it becomes painful. And we think, shame on me for ever thinking those things. You ever been there? Listen, you can't help what the devil runs through your mind, but you can help what you allow to land there. I don't know if you like me or not, but I've had the devil run some things through my mind before, and I felt guilty just because it passed through my brain. And then God had to wake me up to the fact that that's nothing more than a trick or deception of the enemy to try to put something there to get me to stop where I am. And God reminded me, it's not what the enemy tries to pass through your brain. It's what you allow to land there. It's what you think on. It's what you dwell on. It's what you allow to get into your spirit. It's one thing for it to go through your mind, but it's another thing to get into your spirit. Or to get into your heart. I hope you listen to this preacher this morning. First of all, it's painful, and we think, well, shame on us. But the more you allow yourself to think about it, are you listening? The more you allow yourself to dwell on it, the more comfortable it becomes, until suddenly it seems without any warning, you are falling. Let me say it again. Don't think it can't happen to you. It can. And some of you in this room, listen to me right now, you're there right now. God didn't give me this word just to throw it in the wind. There's people listening to me right here in this room and online right now. You're there right now. You're in that place. Suddenly, without warning, you find yourself falling. Falling for what? Falling into that lust again. Falling into those old associations. Falling back into those old ways of talking. Loose talking. Filthy talking. Filthy communication. Loose words. Falling back into those desires that you thought were dead. But the enemy's trying to resurrect them. Falling back into those flirtatious ways. Falling back into those habits that you had been delivered from. But now the enemy's trying to bring them back. I don't want you to respond to me, but I got to ask you, is there anybody in this room there today? You want to know the truth? There's people throughout this room that's struggling with some of these things. That's why God had me to share this today. And let me just get real with you. Don't think the enemy don't work on this man sometime to try to get me to revisit some old ways in my life. And that's when I have to draw the line in the blood of Jesus Christ and say, shut up, devil! I don't have time for you. I don't have time for that. That's the old man in my life. There's a new man that lives in me. I just want you to know it happens to all of us. We all deal with it, but it's how we deal with it. It's how we handle it. Fall falling back into those older things of your life, and then all of a sudden, listen, you realize and you understand that you're there. It all started when you sat in the window seat. It all started when you found yourself in the window seat. Somebody in this room, hear me. Somebody online, please hear me today. You need to change seats. You need to move from where you are. You need to get out of the window seat. You need to get out of the window seat and get back into your place with God. And let me just say this while I'm here. You have not drifted so far away that God can't bring you back. You have not gone so far that God will not turn it around in your life. He loves you enough to change it all just at the calling upon His name. Somebody listening to me, you're not sitting there, but you're on your way there. I know this is tough and I know it's hard. But Jesus is coming. Somebody listen to me. You're not sitting there, but you're on your way there. Eutychus, whose name means fortunate, was indeed fortunate. As a matter of fact, he was fortunate twice. Listen to me. He was fortunate on two occasions. Number one, first, because he was in the house, he heard the word of God. He was second time fortunate because the Apostle Paul went down to the street where he had fallen and raised him back to life. So twice he's fortunate. First time he hears God, hears about God, he hears the word of God. Second time he's brought back to life. Let me just say this while I'm here. Paul went down, he laid upon his body, and he wrapped his arms around him, and he raised him to life. I want everybody in this house to listen to me. You need to surround yourself with some spiritual fathers and some spiritual mothers in your life who will help keep you alive and help keep you strong in the Lord. I got a few head nods on that one. I said, you need to surround yourself with some spiritual fathers and some spiritual mothers that will help keep life in you and make you strong. When you can't stand, they'll stand with you. When you can't fight, they'll fight with you, for you. Don't try to go it alone. Do not try to go it alone. And let me give you this as I'm bringing it down to a close. I want to speak to those fortunate ones this morning. Listen closer to me right here. I want to speak to those fortunate ones this morning who have known the goodness of the Lord. But for one reason, listen, you've known the goodness of God. But for one reason or another, you've found yourself in the window seat and now you're more out than you are in. Did you hear what I said? The fortunate ones who knew the goodness of God, but now you're more out than you are in. I want to speak to those fortunate ones that have already fallen and people around you just don't know it yet. Are you listening? The fortunate ones that have already fallen to the wayside and people around you just don't know it yet. Maybe you've already given in to those old desires and you're just going through the motions. I want to speak to those fortunate ones who have never known Jesus. I'm going to say that again. I want to speak to those fortunate ones who have never known Jesus. Who have never had the joy of knowing that your sins are forgiven. Who have never known the grace of God. Who have never known the mercy of God. The way God wants you to know it. Now the reason I restated that a moment ago. I said I want to talk to the fortunate ones who have never known Jesus. Pastor, you say we are fortunate. How are we fortunate? If I've never known Jesus, how am I fortunate? If I've fallen away from God, how am I fortunate? If I've drifted from the Lord, how am I fortunate? Because you are hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ today. You are fortunate because you have heard the word of God today that has pricked your heart, that has moved in your spirit and moved in your soul. You are fortunate because you are hearing the good news that Jesus Christ loves you and cares about you. You are fortunate because you're hearing the news that Jesus died for your sin. That he laid down his life, that he gave it all, that you might be free. Pastor, you don't know what kind of hell I've lived in. You don't know what kind of walk I've had. You don't know where I've been. You don't know just how low I've gone in life. You don't know how miserable I am. You don't know what's happening with. Listen, it doesn't matter what all of that. Jesus died for you. He gave his life for you. That he could bring you out of whatever hell you've been walking through. That he could deliver you from whatever has bound your life. From whatever's caused you to want to give up and quit. You are fortunate because you're hearing the good news that he died for you, that he'll forgive you of your sins, that he'll come into you and live in your heart if you'll only ask him to. Jesus will come in. Jesus will live in you. He'll be a part of you. If you only ask him to. But let me tell you something about God. I've shared with you many times before, and I'll share it again. He's a perfect gentleman. He doesn't force himself on anybody. He doesn't make anybody receive anything they don't want. If you want him, there's nothing can stop him. He wants to forgive you. He wants to come into your heart. He wants to come into your life. And I want somebody to hear me today. It doesn't matter what category you find yourself in. It doesn't matter what the desperate place of life that you're walking in. Good news is, Jesus loves you. Are you hearing me? To that one watching online, are you hearing this preacher today? Jesus loves you. The good news is, he'll pick you up. The good news is, he'll put his life in you. The good news is he will love you. The good news is he'll put his mercy in you. He'll put his hope in you. He'll put his grace in you. He'll put his goodness in you. The good news is he'll give you a reason to live. Stand to your feet all across this room. The good news is he'll put his joy into your heart. I want everybody in this room looking right straight at me this morning. Somebody listen to this preacher this morning. You need God to give you your life back. You need Jesus to give you your life back. And guess what? I'm not just talking to sinners today. I'm talking to some of God's people. I'm talking to some of God's children. You need God to give you your life back. You need God to give you your joy back. You need God to restore the joy of your salvation. I gotta say that again. You need God to give you your joy back. You need Him to restore your salvation.